Fourth and final hour on this Monday afternoon. Don't forget Smashville Live, another Wednesday installment of that. It'll be back in your neck of the woods, Chase, in Bellevue.
It will.
Brewhouse 100, located at 8098 Highway 100. Show is from 7 until 8 o'clock. This week's special guest will be country music legend Vince Gill. That should be a lot of fun. Limited number of autographs and pictures will be available, so get there. Remember, that's Wednesday night, 7 to 8, Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Let's talk about tonight's national championship game. Let's get the LSU perspective from Matt Muscana. Covers LSU for ESPN Baton Rouge. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thanks for the invite.
Man, we're excited for tonight's game. I said this earlier, in fact, in the last hour. If you can't get excited for this game, then college football just doesn't have you. We're going to watch the two number one pick overall in the NFL draft for the next 2 years are going to be playing head-to-head. So what's your feeling? We've had a lot of time to digest this. A lot of people are wondering, what's taken so long to get to this point? Yeah. So what have you been talking about? What intrigues you the most about this matchup?
I think there's really only one question in the ball game, and that's, can Clemson's offense keep pace? You know, when you have a 14-game sample, you're not really guessing anymore. You know, LSU has beaten six top 10 teams. They've done it on the road. They've done it at home. They've done it at neutral sites. They've scored points against teams with dominant defensive fronts, with first-round picks as edge rushers, with, you know, first-round picks at cornerback and safety, and elite defensive coordinators like Kevin Steele and Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, and the list goes on and on. And they've just been elite offensively. And LSU's going to score a bunch tonight. The question is, can Clemson keep pace? If Clemson wants to play a game similar to the Fiesta Bowl, that 29-23 style, it's not going to go well for them. It really is a matter of if Clemson can buckle up and try to outscore LSU, like Bama almost did, like Texas almost did. LSU is not infallible. They can be beaten. But for someone to do it, they're going to have to outscore them offensively. And so that's the question. Can Clemson do it tonight?
Clemson fans don't have to take a backseat to anybody. They travel. They're passionate, just like all the big boy SEC schools in Ohio State and Michigan. We know all the usual suspects. But they're going to have to take a backseat tonight in New Orleans, aren't they? I mean, well, I don't know if you know the percentage, but, I mean, there's going to be more purple and gold in there than the Clemson colors. What do you think the ratio is going to be?
So each school got an allotment of 20,000 tickets, and both sold that allotment. The Dome, depending on configuration, will seat anywhere from like 68,000 to 72,000. And the word as far as secondary market tickets has been 8-1 LSU, and that's to be expected. I mean, New Orleans is such a heavy LSU town, and there's so much population crossover with Baton Rouge and New Orleans. They're just an hour apart. And then you consider all the corporate sponsors in New Orleans. Those tickets are all going to go to LSU people. So I'd imagine you'll probably have about maybe 50,000 LSU fans and 20, 25,000 Clemson fans, probably how the breakdown will go. It'll be a heavy LSU crowd. But, guys, I mean, it's LSU played in this game. It's played in the championship game. This will be their fourth one in New Orleans, which is kind of an oddity to say it. But you know, they lost this game to Alabama in 2011 in this building with a heavy, you know, partisan crowd. So LSU went and played the SEC championship game in Georgia when it was an 80-20 Georgia crowd. And that didn't really seem to matter. So LSU is going to have a crowd advantage. There's no question. And in the streets, it's all purple and gold as well. But you know, once they tee it up and kick it off, I'm not sure how much that's going to matter as far as the outcome.
Matt, I know they went back-to-back weeks against Auburn and Alabama where they had to play close, tight games, contested games. So they know how to play well in those, but most of the body work this year has been blowouts. Them in control, them dictating the pace, them dictating the outcome of the game. If this is a back-and-forth affair, you know, that's been a while since those games. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, we're sitting here close to mid-January, and that's been a while. How do you think they'll handle maybe a back-and-forth affair or a game where they even have to come from behind?
I just don't think it matters. They're, you know, every now and again, I mean, in our business, every now and again, if you're lucky, you'll bump up against a team that is just kind of you recognize it when it's happening, that it's a moment in time. And this LSU season has kind of been like that. They went on the road in Texas in week 2 and they trailed and they wound up winning that game. They faced a 3rd and 17 late in that game. They converted for a touchdown, which was really the eye-opener, I think, nationally. The Bama game, LSU got a big lead early. They were 33-13 at half and had to hold on. The Auburn game really wasn't close. The score, Auburn added a late score, but it was never really
true.
In doubt.
That's true. I bring it up, Matt. I'll just give you a little reference point. The Titans just eliminated the Ravens on Saturday night.
Sure.
And the Ravens have been a juggernaut. They were the best team in the NFL, and offensively, same deal. They have blown teams out, and that doesn't happen on the NFL level. And they looked very uncomfortable trying to play from behind Saturday night.
And I would say this is the biggest difference. And LSU's had to play from behind. Oddly enough, they trailed against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt took the opening possession of the game and scored. So LSU actually trailed in that game too, but they trailed against Auburn early. But the biggest difference, I'd say, with the comparison, the Titans-Ravens comparison, is you're still talking about NFL players that it's the any given Sunday analogy. And what you're watching right now with LSU offensively is they are a pro offense playing against college defense. And it may sound dismissive, and it may sound super arrogant, but Joe Burrow said after the Georgia game, and remember going into Georgia, and all season long, LSU's kind of faced this, yeah, but with the offense. It's, yeah, but wait till you see Florida's athletes. And it's, yeah, but wait until you see Auburn's defensive front, or yeah, but wait until you go to Tuscaloosa. Well, Georgia had the number one statistical best defense in college football when they played them. And, after that game, and of course, LSU kind of did what they wanted in that ball game. Joe Burrow said after the game, said, I don't even know why I watch film anymore. Because everything that the defenses are doing, we don't see any of it on film. And in some way, that's very flattering because it shows you that teams and defensive coordinators feel like they have to completely change game plans specifically for you. But it also speaks to how next level LSU has been offensively. To put it in perspective, guys, Trevor Lawrence has had an amazing year. He's thrown for 3,400 yards and 36 touchdowns. By any college measure, that is a great season. Joe Burrow has thrown for 1,800 more yards and 19 more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence this year.
Wow.
That's a season for some guys. I don't think in history, after tonight's game, if LSU wins it, maybe we'll look back in hindsight and we'll start to put things in their proper perspective. But Joe Burrow won the Heisman by the widest majority ever. If he hits his averages tonight in yards and touchdowns, Joe Burrow will set the NCAA record for yards and touchdowns accounted for from scrimmage in the season. We are literally watching, and I know this is a mouthful, we are watching one of a handful of the single greatest seasons in the history of college football. Now, if they don't win tonight, it means nothing. But to your point, I know this is rambling, but where we started, I don't think it matters what Clemson does defensively because LSU's seen it all and they've bested everybody and they're going to score. The question is the other side of the ball is can Clemson and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and T. Higgins and Justin Ross and that bevy of really good offensive talent, can they go buckle it up in a shootout and make one more play than Joe Burrow does?
Matt Mascona is with us from ESPN Baton Rouge and I think you bring up some great points because everybody looks at LSU and they look at the offense and Joe Brady coming in and what he's done with Joe Burrow. But do you think Dave Aranda and the defense, do they get their just due for the year that they've had?
So it's been a weird year defensively because for the LSU that people know has been dominate defensively, run the football, control the line of scrims. That's how LSU built sort of this two-decade run of a couple of championships and playing for a third and being consistently among the elite in college football. This has been a weird year defensively. They've had to play complementary football to an elite offense. And it's just math, guys. If you're on the field defensively for 80 snaps instead of 65, you're going to give up more yards and points. It's just the way it's going to go. I think defensively it took LSU a good 2 months to figure out depth and how to play a complementary style to this kind of offense, because it's just something they never had to do before. But over the last 6 weeks, they've been pretty dominant, and none more so than against Oklahoma when they really throttled Jalen Hurts. They held him under 50 yards rushing and really made an electric offense look quite pedestrian. LSU defensively, guys, they you look at that defense, you know, Grant Delpit's going to be a first-round pick, and Christian Fulton's going to be a first-round pick, and guys like Chasson and Stingley, and you know, when their day comes, they're all going to be really high draft picks. And they're starting to play like it. Depth has been an issue for this LSU team, and honestly, something to file away, LSU's worst statistical quarter defensively has been the fourth quarter. They've allowed more points in the fourth quarter than any quarter on the season. So just because LSU has a late lead, don't exhale. They allowed 21 points to Bama in the fourth quarter. So I do think depth and stamina has been an issue with this defense and could be tonight. But there's also no question that defensively LSU is playing its best football of the season now.
I know your schedule's tight and you got to go, so this is the last one for me. I don't know how much it was talked about there, but I know nationally when Ed Orgeron got the job, you look at USC, well, okay, he wasn't good enough to get that job and get the interim tag removed. He's in the same situation at LSU. Why has he been the right fit for this team to get them to this point?
Guys, it's a great question. And full disclosure, like my hands in the air, I was the biggest, you know, most fervent flag waver of the anti-Ed Orgeron movement. It wasn't anti-Ed. I thought when LSU, when they hired him, it was a program that had won two national titles and played for a third over the span of a decade and could have hired a more established coach. They didn't need to take that risk. And Ed struggled early, guys. I mean, in his first season, they lost to Troy at home. They got blown out by Mississippi State. Had an ugly loss in a bowl game. They had their worst recruiting class in two decades, and his forte is supposed to be recruiting. But the way Ed turned it around is he was willing to do something that most coaches in this profession are not willing to do, and that is humble themselves and remove ego and be self-aware. He made a terrible hire in Matt Canada as his offensive coordinator, fired him after one season, owned it. He hired Steve Ensminger when people said that's not the right choice. He went and brought in Joe Brady, a guy who nobody knew of, but he had a feeling he was the sort of the unlock on the Rubik's Cube. You know, Ed has been humble enough to recognize the mistakes he made to fix them because the foundation was there. And man, the result this year has been mighty impressive. Now, the question moving forward for LSU, you know, is this a moment in time or can he sustain it? And, you know, we'll get that answer when Joe Burrow is no longer on our center. But, man, Ed Orgeron deserves a lot of credit for getting this team to where it is right now.
Yeah, they know who Brady is now. Matt, always appreciate the visits. We enjoyed it. Enjoy the game tonight. We're excited here in Nashville, and we'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, guys. All the best.
All right, Matt Mascana, ESPN Baton Rouge. We'll get the Clemson perspective. On the other side, their play-by-play man, Don Munson, next on Darren, Donick, and Chase.